In March, a dispute between a shop owner and a 27-year-old Afghan woman selling handicrafts named Farkunda Melekzada erupted into an angry mob scene. The woman was falsely accused of burning a Quran and was beaten to death and nearly torn to pieces by the mob in broad daylight. Onlookers, in lieu of helping Farkunda, captured video of the gruesome attack, which Farkunda's mother, Bibi Hajera, eventually watched.
What pains my heart is when she is sitting and her head is bleeding. The police are just standing there and watching. They don't say anything. Why? Why don't they bring a car over or call a policewoman? I see the crowd go through the shrine and pull her hair to bring her out. That is what really tortures me.
The crime seemed at first to represent a turning point for a new Afghanistan, which celebrates its independence today. 1,000 people gathered in Kabul for her funeral earlier this year, breaking tradition. Women, not men, carried her coffin to her grave. Eventually, 49 men were charged with crimes, but only 12 were convicted, and some of them have since been released or had their sentences reduced. Zarhuna Kargar is a reporter for the BBC in Afghanistan. Her documentary, The Killing of Farkunda, shows how resistant Afghan tradition is to change, even in the face of incomprehensible brutality.
Farkunda got into an argument with a caretaker at the shrine about charm selling because she considered it an Islamic. And he got angry that the woman is challenging him. It's not common in Afghanistan that the women challenge men. And he shouted that this woman has become an American and she has burned the Quran. People didn't listen to her. And within minutes, the crowd gathered and they just started beating her. And straight away, the accusation was believed. And yeah, it was just horrible the way they attacked her and the way they murdered her. But that's it. It was as simple. Police investigation showed that she hadn't burned the Quran. And also other witnesses who were at the scene said that this guy who is a caretaker at the shrine, he was shouting and everyone believed him.
Which leads us to the authorities here. The authorities had options to prosecute the person who lied and screamed and who incited the entire incident. Then there's the question of the people who actually beat her and struck her. And there were so many of them that in many ways, the entire community is at fault, and prosecuting individuals is important, but it doesn't get to the issue of why a crowd like this would be so frenzied that they would take out their anger on an absolutely innocent woman.
Exactly. Like several of Farkunda's main killers, they are still at large. They haven't even been arrested. And the people who are in prison for the crime, 8 of them facing 16 years and 3 each face 20 years and one young man, Yaqub, who is facing 10 years now, they are all in prison for being involved in the incident. But the actual murderers who killed Farkunda, they are at large. And even the police chief has told us in this documentary that the police in Afghanistan might be able to deal with an incident like a blast or bombing that is like a normal occurrence in the country. But to deal with your own people and just like an angry crowd like that was very rare. And they just failed. They did try at the beginning to disperse the crowd and protect Farkunda, but they just failed.
Although it is hard to have sympathy for the police when there's the case of Yaqub, who you just spoke about moments ago, who even though the real killers or the people who are much more likely to have struck the fatal blows are still at large, here's 16-year-old Yaqub, whose crime was to strike a dead body. And here his father, Mohammed Yassin, seems to think that that's excusable on some level. Listen.
Okay, he disrespected a corpse. He got carried away by his religious fervor, his youthful passion. But it wasn't just him. There were 1,000 people there. 1,000 people saying one thing. Who was to say at the time that 1,000 people were lying and the one on the ground was telling the truth?
I mean, this defense, boys will be religious fanatics, just seems really mind-bending. It just excuses the idea that even if she had burned a Quran, it would have been okay to pull her limb from limb.
Well, Yaqub's parents have condemned the killing of Farkunda because we did ask them, but They claim that he was 16 at the time and he wasn't involved in actual murdering Farhunda. And his mother even says that he shouldn't be facing any punishment at all, let alone death penalty, which he was facing at the beginning. And then appeals court changed it to 20 years because they have considered him a minor, as the parents have argued.
This documentary really gets to the issue of what constitutes deterrence. What approach on the part of the authorities would prevent a crime like this from ever happening again? And the answer to that question is not necessarily very hopeful. What do the activists you spoke with say about this?
Generally, the women I speak to on a regular basis, they say that they have lost trust in the police. If they couldn't protect one woman from people who didn't have guns, who they were not like terrorists, they were terrorists in a different way. They stand by men. It is the attitude that needs to be changed. And a lot of the activists have told me that the pervasive misogyny that is in the society, that needs to be eliminated. And it might take generations.
And this permissiveness is being transmitted from one generation to the next. And that's the very disturbing conclusion of Sara Mousavi, who's a women's rights activist in Afghanistan, whose voice is in the end of your documentary with a very disturbing conclusion.
The young people who killed Farhunda were only 5 or 6 years old at the beginning of the Karzai government. Now they're young men. They were wearing modern clothes, very good clothes, but their attitudes are still outdated. Respect for the law in our society doesn't exist. Respect for each other doesn't exist.
Which suggests that modernism in Afghanistan is something of an illusion.
Well, there is hope. I think the way women came out on the street, the way people stood and called for justice, and you can see that, okay, on one side, there might be these kind of feelings of inequality towards women and violence against women. But on the other hand, there is a force that is working towards the change. And the change will come, might take a generation, might take a long time, but maybe, as Sahra says, for her daughter, the attitude towards women will be not like the attitude that is towards her now.
Zarhuna Kargar is a journalist for the BBC World News. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.